motion in place here.
Almost in place.
He's almost ready.
How do you get almost in place?
Probably somewhere.
There you go.
I use that part.
So, is the thing working for you?
We're gonna wake up for this.
All right, good deal, all right. So, you handed out this paper, it got something about some blowing down about, okay?
Amen, what we wanna do is kinda stand, Ray, ask us to.
Okay, let's stand up.
This is to our God. You don't need Bible study. But worship, yeah.
And this song is Grace Flows Down, and it's explained in the blood of Jesus. And let's just lift him up, okay? And thank him for the blood.
Yes.
Glory to him.
Thank you for the blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace slows down and covers me, because
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We say, thank
so much for dying on that cross for our sins.
Yes.
That we
thank
will
you,
be
Lord.
With
thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Holy
thank
Spirit.
You,
glory
Jesus.
To your name.
Yes,
worthy
Lord.
To be praised.
You're so worthy, worthy, worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He's been saying to me over and over and over and over, tell my people that I love them. Tell my people that I love them. Tell my people that I love them.
Amen. Lord, we tell you that we love you. Because of Jesus, we can love you with all our hearts, soul,
yes.
mind, and being. We couldn't do it on our own, but with God inside of us, we can do it, and Jesus did it. And because he did it, we can love you like we've never loved you as a people before. And we're growing in that love, receiving that love from Jesus. Because our heart's desire, God, is to love you more and more. And to know you more and more. And to be used by you more and more. Because your church will be triumphant and glorious. Your church will be the church full of glory.
Yes.
Full of your love and goodness to show humanity how wonderful and great our God is. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for that love that you give us, that we can give back to you, the love that passes all our understanding in the natural. But you've revealed all of it to us by your Spirit within us. So we know the love of God that takes care of every situation and every need. We just praise you and give you glory. How glorious you are. How wonderful in majesty you are. How respectful we are of you, Lord. The church is your triumphant body that will do the work that you've called us to. Thank you for that love, and we will walk in that love as part of what we do in this earth to show you who you are.
Thank
for God's
you.
Love. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We just praise and exalt you,
Lord.
God.
We thank you.
Your majesty's all over this
hallelujah,
nation.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are a thankful people. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
King of glory.
We're growing in that grace and knowledge
hallelujah,
of Jesus
Lord.
Christ.
King
hallelujah. Yes, the King of glory. You're the King of glory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The goodness of God. Hallelujah,
thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Thank
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Spirit. Hallelujah.
I wanted to share one personal revelation that he told me years ago. His love is a bank. Everything that's done in love, it's reserved for us. That's where your, he says, there's treasures laid up.
Amen.
But he showed me something once. You've ever seen people driving and they have their foot or their leg out the window? He said, Deborah, when you're in my love, everything is preserved, no matter what happens, no matter what. He says, but if it's outside, that's going to be lost. Mm-hmm. Like at that, if you have a wreck with your arm hand out the door, you're going to lose it. If you're not in that cage, that's what a car is. They build a steel cage around you to hold you.
Amen.
And seatbelts to hold you inside of that cage that can't crumple. And he's saying, my love is a bank. Everything done in love. There is nothing that can touch that. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. So stay inside that cage.
Amen.
You know, don't stick your arm out. Stick your foot out. Don't smack that person that's asking for it.
Oh.
I used to say, Lord, they're asking for it. You said it. I'm just saying,
give them peace.
Everything done in love.
Yes.
And
what we have here happening this morning, I just want to, you know, in Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another
Whoa.
To love and good works.
Mm.
Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another.
Yes.
And all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Amen. We do see that.
So we've been getting encouraged.
Amen. Yes,
and we've been getting stirred up. Amen.
Amen.
That's exactly it. We've been getting encouraged and being stirred up. That's a good thing. I was doing some studying in another place in Acts, and it talked about how the disciples, this is in Acts 2, day of Pentecost, the disciples went out and started speaking to everyone in their own language, the wonderful works of God.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And Peter stands up and says, listen, don't think that these people are drunk. But this is a fulfillment of what Joel said. He says, in that day I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And what? The young men will prophesy. And my young maidens, my young men servants and maid servants will prophesy. Well, goodness. Now wait, they were speaking in tongues, but Peter is saying that they fulfilled a prophecy that they would prophesy. So does speaking in tongues mean prophesying? The prophecy in Joel didn't say anything about speaking in tongues, but it did say they will prophesy. And Peter says, this is what's happening. What Joel prophesied is what happened. And what's happening among you, you've just seen it.
Yeah.
Well, what did they see? They heard people telling the mighty works of God in their own languages. That's prophesying.
Yeah.
That's prophesying. That's what they were doing. Yeah. Okay. They were prophesying. They were speaking the words of God. When the Marys were speaking, I didn't know what they were saying. Mm-hmm. They were speaking to God.
Yeah.
They were speaking words that He knew.
Yeah.
Right? That's prophecy.
Yeah.
You speak the words of God. Right? Amen. Okay, well, if you will, turn with me to Hebrews 10. And we're going to look at just a few verses here. Our time is short. Yeah, that's okay. Hebrews 10, verse 32 through 36. Hebrews 10, 32 through 36. Who could read that for us? Who's got that? Go ahead.
It's from the Passion Translation. Don't you remember those days right after the light shined in your hearts? You endured a great marathon season of suffering hardships, yet you stood your ground. And at times you were publicly and shamefully mistreated, being persecuted for your faith. Then at other times you stood side by side with those who preached the message of hope. You sympathized with those in prison. And when all your belongings were confiscated, you accepted that violation with joy, convinced that you possessed a treasure growing in heaven that could never be taken from you. So don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. You need the strength of endurance to reveal the poetry, the Greek says to do God's will, and then you receive the promise in full. For soon and very soon, the one who is appearing will come without delay. And he also says, my righteous ones will live from my faith, but if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. But you are certainly not those who are held back by fear and perish. We're among those who have faith and experience true life.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've been talking about the old covenant and the new covenant, mm-hmm. right? And one thing we can say, if we look at the book of Hebrews, if we had to sum it up in one word, that word would be better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. That word would be better. Mm-hmm. Okay? We have a better covenant.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen? We have a better testament.
Yes.
Right? We have a better Savior.
Yes.
Amen. It's just everything's better. You know, you men, you get a chainsaw and you're working with that chainsaw and it works well. It's a good chainsaw, right? But then you get a better chainsaw. You can cut a lot faster with that better chainsaw.
Yeah.
It starts a lot quicker. Right? It's a lot lighter. It's a better chainsaw.
Yeah.
So when you need to go cut wood, which one do you go get? You get the better chainsaw. The other one sits over there and just gets neglected, doesn't it? But now you ladies, don't y'all laugh, because you, in your kitchens, you got knives, right? You've got knives, you've got spoons, you've got spatulas and things. And when you go to fix something, what do you look for? Well, I got some knives here, but I got a good knife. It's better than the others. I want that better knife. It's sharper. It cuts better. It's weighted just right. I'm looking for that better knife. You find it in the drainer, you know. I'm going to use that one. I've got other ones that sit in the drawer that don't get used. But I'm going to get that better knife. I'm going to get that better spoon. That spoon's just right, boy. It's just, that's the way to go, right? That's what I'm going to cook with. I'm going to cook with that better pot. I'm going to cook with that better pan. The others just don't get used as much. They get used sometimes, but you always go for that better one, right?
Yeah.
That's what we need to do with the covenant. We go for that better covenant. Okay?
You know, the body of Christ has a habit, if we're not careful, of mixing the two.
Exactly.
And it really diminishes the New Testament.
Exactly. Exactly. Always get that better one. Mm-hmm. Always get that better one. Okay? So it says here, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Okay? Now, in Hebrews 10, the tone changes from what we've been studying. He's talking about better covenant, old covenant. Better covenant, old covenant. Okay? And all throughout the first 9 chapters, that was his focus. In verse 10, in chapter 10, he changes and he says, okay, now I'm going to get personal to you. I'm going to get personal to you. He's going to start talking directly to them about some things. And that's why he says, let's consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, encouraging each other. All right? He's talking to them personally now, giving them some personal things. And we're not going to go over the first 31 verses because, you know, it's a lot of stuff that we've kind of already covered. But I did want to bring out these verses. We won't have time to cover them all today, but I wanted to cover some of these. He says, you were enlightened. After you were enlightened, then you had a hard struggle. What does it mean to be enlightened?
To know the truth.
Exactly. To know the truth. On down there he says, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession. Right? He says, don't throw away your confidence. Confidence. Well, how do you get confidence? Because you know the truth. You know the truth, right? When you know that car works, you're not afraid to get into it and drive off, right? You've got confidence because you know that it works. You've driven it several times. You know it works. So you have confidence. So after we're enlightened, once we know God, once we know the amazing grace, and we're covered, that we're covered, and nothing can really hurt us. All right? Well, we can endure struggles. We can endure these persecutions. Knowing the truth enables us to endure these troubles with joy in our hearts. Rather than being sad and focusing on our own problems, we can smile and help others in their times of distress. Because of what we now know, we can speak boldly to others concerning the good news. That's what that word confidence means. In the Greek, it means speaking boldly. We can speak boldly. We don't have to hide under, oh, somebody can come by and get me. Yeah. No, we speak boldly. You know, the early Israelis, they entered the promised land with the expectation of material blessings, right? Oh, it's the land flowing with milk and honey, the grapes you have to carry on a, you know, pole between two people, and they're huge things of grapes. It's just good land. It's a good land. So they're going in there expecting to receive material blessings. That's their expectation. However, early Christians entered the kingdom of God with the expectation of
persecution.
Persecution, okay. But what kind of blessings? What kind of blessings? Spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. Eternal blessings, right? Eternal blessings. Blessings in heaven that could not be destroyed by what? Moth. A rust, right? Couldn't be taken by thieves. Our treasures that we store up in heaven, they can't be taken, they won't be destroyed. They can't be taken by thieves, you see? We're laying up treasures in heaven when we love our brother.
Yeah.
When we speak peace, right? When we want to give someone a slap. Instead, we give them grace and mercy, right? Yeah. You're asking for it. Yeah. The early believers knew that the taking of their earthly property, as it's talking about in this verse, someone, when they came and stole their property, when they came and took their property, it amounted to little. Mm-hmm. Right? Since it was going to be destroyed anyway. Mm-hmm. Everything on earth is someday going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
All right? But they knew they had eternal rewards stored up where?
Amen. In heaven.
In heaven. Right? They couldn't be touched. You know, all you can do is take these measly old things and they'll be destroyed anyway. Who cares? Go ahead and take it. Right? You know, it's not yours to take, but it's not going to be yours anyway. Because it's all going to be destroyed one day. Right?
There was a difference, too, when God gave them their promised land. He told them, I can't give it to you all at one time, lest the wild beasts.
Yeah.
But when we got our promises, it came all at once.
Yeah,
the eternal life, the health and healing and the prosperity, it caught him at once. We didn't have to earn it or get it little by little. But some people are still wanting to get their new and better promise little by little. They won't accept it all at one time.
It takes us a while to receive it, don't it?
Yeah, it does.
It takes, you know, you're talking about the ground, Brother Thurston. Mm-hmm. It takes us a while to receive it. Because there's distractions. Now, it's great if we can get rid of all the distractions and just sit and receive it.
You
know? But it takes time, you know, it takes time to grow into it, to mature into things. We can't receive it all at once. It's just too much, you know. It's great. We can know it, you know, in our heads, but we don't get it in our hearts, you know. And we got to get it in our hearts, you know. We got to get it in our hearts so that we receive it. You know, and then we can walk in victory.
Because we don't prepare it. Look how Jesus prepared himself. He got it all. He took care of everything was taken care of. And it was his choice to stay in the Word and stay in the presence and be obedient. So
that's
it's
right.
Really possible for us to get it very quickly. It's just that we don't take the time to do it, to prepare everything. We will know the Lord.
Distractions.
Right, distractions.
Distractions.
Like our life too much, carnal life too much, instead of the spiritual life. But as we grow, we become more acquainted with the spiritual life and not the spiritual life. But it's available from day one.
You're right. It's available from day one. That is an important point right there. We can grasp hold of it, and we can pull it to us.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And the more we grasp hold of it, and pull it to us, the more we hear and understand, and we start walking in it. You know, when you hear it and you understand it, that's partway there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get up and say, I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to see if it's true. I'm going to prove that it's true. Like George Mueller, right? He said, I believe a man can have a ministry from God. If it's a ministry from God, God will support it. And if God's going to be the one supporting it, you don't have to ask man for money. You ask God for money.
Yeah.
It's his ministry.
Amen.
If he wants to support it, he'll support it without me having to ask men, go around begging men for money. And that's what he did. That's what he did. The guy was not rich. He wasn't at all. He and his wife took a vow of poverty. But he started 2 or 3 orphanages and a Bible school and did several mission trips overseas. And he never asked anyone for one dime, not for one piece of money. Every time he was in need of money, he just went and prayed. Okay, God, this is your ball. You bounce it. This is your ball. You bounce it. What are you going to do to provide? And he saw miracles. They saw miracles after miracles after miracles.
Miracles after miracles. So what you're saying, he leaned and relied on God.
On God alone. On God alone. He is what you need. Just don't get distracted by thinking you need other things. All right? The early Christians knew God has done it. He's all I need.
Amen.
I don't need to defend myself. If someone takes all my possessions and walks away and leaves me here with nothing, my God is perfectly capable of providing me what I need. With food for today, food for tomorrow, with clothing for today, and really that's all I need. And so I'm not going to worry about it. I am going to walk in victory. I'm going to walk in faith. And that's the better covenant. Yeah. That's the better knife. That's the better spoon. That's the better chainsaw. Mm-hmm. That's the better. Amen? Yeah. Father, we thank you so much for loving us and giving us better. Better. Giving us the best. We thank you for that, Father. Let us walk without distraction in your will and your ways and learn more and more from your word and your Holy Spirit within us. Bless the food. Bless those who prepared it and got it for us today. We thank you for them. We pray a special blessing upon them. We pray a special blessing on our government leaders, upon our church leaders, Father. Work in them. Give them wisdom. Give them wise counsel, Father. Give them energy and give them strength. Father, we bless them and we say good things about them. We thank you for them. Now work mightily in them to bring about peace on our land. Father, in all things, may you be glorified. May your Son be hallowed and kept holy in everyone's mind. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. That was good, brother. Very, very good.
My biggest, it wasn't that much distraction for a part of it. The other part was weeding the field by getting all the religion taught me in Baptist church. Not a whole lot of work. So I had to weed out my garden and get all that junk out before I kept, you know what I'm saying, before the word could really grow.
That is so true.
I know. I got taught a lot of religion. A lot. This much religion, that much word.